Good morning, City Lights. I am David Clausen. I get to do the message here this morning. So once we get all back to your seats, join me in a quick prayer before we get started here. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for just being able to come together here this morning to worship you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and your grace that is with us always, Lord. So I just pray, Father, that open our hearts this morning to receive your word, Lord. I pray that your word come forth, Heavenly Father, that you give me the words to speak, Lord God, that we're able to just grow closer to you, Heavenly Father. In your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So over the past couple of weeks, Pastor Doug has started a new series on relationships. It's called Better Together. So my message this morning will hopefully fit right into that. My message title is Friendship with God. And I believe our friendship with God directly affects our relationships with other people as well. So hopefully this morning we can kind of get into His Word and see how we can maybe be better people to those outside, right? Or those that we maybe don't know yet, or to the other relationships that we have in our lives. So our first scripture today comes from James 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. So how many of you know we are righteous because of Jesus, right? Jesus died for our sins, and so we have been given his righteousness. So we are righteous, so we are called friends of God when we are in Christ, right? So we are friends of God. So what does that mean to be friends of God? I was trying to think about it. You know, I don't know if it's just me. I mean, this day and age, you sometimes don't have a lot of friends, like really good friends. Like people have lots of friends on Facebook or whatever, you know, I have 300 friends. But do we know any of them? I don't know. But a real friend. So what does a real friend look like? A real friend would be somebody that you can share your life with, right? Somebody that is, that's there for you, that believes in you. And maybe sometimes, gives you that push that you need to move beyond the barriers that they see in your life, right? And Jesus obviously is much more than that to us, but I just, to be friends of God, to be friends with the most powerful being in the universe, that's pretty cool, I would think. So in John 15, verse 14 to 15, it says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from the Father I have made known to you." So God wants to share his plans with us. And that's what when he established the earth in the beginning, he walked with Adam and Eve. He wanted to be close to them. He wanted to share life with them. And, you know, we can see that right away with Adam. The first task is to name all the animals, name all the things in the garden. God was placing responsibility on man, humankind. He wanted to live with them and see them experience life and build life, right? And so God's heart has not changed. Obviously, there's a few things that kind of came in between that, and God has had a plan even before he established the world to bring us back to that friendship with him. So God has a plan, and he took those steps. He brought Jesus into the world to take those steps to bring that friendship back to us, right? So he actually came. He died for us so that we could reconnect with him and be called friends of God once again. So, you know, if you are here today and you don't know Jesus, he has opened that invitation, and he's taken the first steps. He sacrificed himself so that we could become followers of Him once again. So I always think of this, you know, a lot of times, even if you're a Christian or a non-Christian, we are all potential millionaires. If you're a Christian, you are like a millionaire. But we walk around this world like we're beggars. We walk around, we grab scrap out of the garbage, and we protect that scrap because we think that's all we have. That's all the value we have. But in Christ, the value we have is beyond measure. And I promise you, if you get to know who God has called you to be, this particular truth that we are rich beyond comparison is there. It's in scriptures, right? He proves it over and over again. And there's a reason why God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Because of our value that we have, right? Each individual one. That's what it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 13. It says, "You will seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your heart." So God is continually, even from the Old Testament, He was already calling people to seek Him because He already seen that, what He would do with Jesus to bring us back to Himself, right? I'm not sure where you grew up. When I grew up in Mexico, I moved here when I was about, 11 or so. And obviously my parents didn't have a relationship. It was more of a religion. At least that's the way I perceived it. I was always told that, you know, God will only save a few, but we don't know which few they are. You know, it's like a tree standing there, and there's apples on that tree, and He grabs just a few of them. And so it was kind of like a lottery. So, you know, maybe you're going to be saved, maybe you're not. And that's why it was so amazing to me when I first heard that you could know that you are saved. That was an amazing, amazing truth to me. You know, from 8 years old, I think I was probably 17, 18 when I first heard that. Obviously, I didn't get saved right away, but that question ran through my mind for years that I could know that I could be saved. I remember countless prayers as a kid, just praying that God would somehow save us, that God would save my family. And to this day, I've seen a lot of that happen. I've seen my brothers come to salvation. I've seen my sisters come to salvation. Slowly, one by one, He is saving them. He's even answering that prayer that I prayed even before I was even a Christian, right? So connecting with my next point, it's just connecting with God. I just look at the scriptures, Paul, and obviously the apostles as well. What was it that Paul caught? What was it that he seen in Jesus that so completely? You got to look at Paul comes and he's a religious leader, so he's got high status. So he encounters Jesus on a road, and from there he completely transforms his life. And so, and we see this in Philippians 3 verse 10 on the Amplified. He says, and this so that I may know Him experientially, becoming more thoroughly acquainted with Him, understanding the remarkable wonder of His person more completely, and in that same way experience the power of His resurrection, which overflows and is active in believers, and that I may share the fellowship of His suffering, by being continually conformed inwardly into His likeness, even to His death, dying as He did. So what is it that Paul seen in this particular Jesus that completely he was ready to give up his life? And I think that is something that we are all missing at times. And I say that for myself as well, that we miss who Jesus truly is. We miss the wonder of what God has done and what He is doing every single day. I just remember me and Yolanda went to this church my sister was attending to. They had a revival meetings for the week. And this minister came up And he told a story. He described Jesus in a way that I've never heard before. But it was from somebody that had seen Jesus, that had experienced him in a deep, powerful way. And that is my prayer, that we all experience Jesus in a deep, powerful way, that we're able to see him in a way that is beyond words. I won't try to describe how he described him, but just that image, and he was in tears by the end of it when he finished describing Jesus. And it just, that has been my prayer, that I would know Jesus in that powerful way. In enjoying intimacy with God, John Oswald Sanders observed, it would seem that admission to the inner circle of deepening intimacy with God is the outcome of deep desire. Only those who count such intimacy a prize worth sacrificing anything else for are likely to attain it. If other intimacies are more desirable to us, we will not gain entry to that circle. Desire to know only the Lord and His character must be our motive for intimacy. If all I seek are His gifts or what He can do for me, I have self-centered relationship based on God's performance in meeting my perceived needs. Instead, my desire to seek Him must be based on the longing just to know Him, to fellowship with Him, to enjoy His company. Obviously, that deep desire, like, it has to be a desire that is deep within us to long for Him. And I think in our culture today, which just with distraction, I even talk for myself, my phone is a constant distraction for me. I constantly find myself reaching for it. At any moment, there's a little bit of quietness, I reach for my phone instantly, right? Boom, who emailed me, who texted me, who sent a note on Facebook, who did this on Facebook, all these distractions, what do they do? They eliminate any space for God to even talk to us. Instantly eliminated. And Yolanda always helps me to realize my addiction, so, put that phone down. So, I know, I am distracted. But by the grace of God, He reminds me through my wife, or even when Yolanda isn't there, I get reminded, am I speaking with God consistently? Am I listening to Him? Or have I filled every single bit of space in my life with something that somebody else is doing? Or the news, or this, or that. Especially through the elections, What did Trump do now? This and that, right? So, and it can, I find, for myself, it can rob you of your peace. I can just remember as you get distracted and you just go down that tunnel and you just keep going, and all of a sudden you come to a place where you don't feel any more peace. You feel distracted. You feel burdened and you wonder why, what happened? I'm still reading the Bible. I'm still doing all that. But the one difference is I'm not listening. I'm not listening to God speak to me. I'm not listening. I'm not letting my heart connect to a person that's maybe beside me that's going through pain. I'm distracted. I'm caring more about the things of the world, more about what Trump did or maybe didn't do, or Hillary did and didn't do, than I care about my neighbor beside me. And yeah, so I just want to challenge you there today, because I can guarantee you, if you have an iPhone or a smartphone, that is a constant addiction that you, at least for me, I guess I can only speak for myself, at least for me, that is a constant thing that I have to curb, because God wants to connect with us. In Psalm 91 verse 1, it tells us, how, this is not on, up on the top or whatever, but it tells us, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. To dwell means to remain, abide, sit. It conveys a continuity, a daily communion with the Lord. Are we communing with God? Andrew Murray's thoughts on abiding gives us insight into what we need to do in order to be a vital part of the vine being Jesus Christ, and we are the branches, right? John 15:5. I need time to grow in Jesus, the vine. Do not expect to abide in Him unless you will give Him that time. Come, my brethren, and let us day by day set ourselves by His feet and meditate on His word, on this word of His. With an eye fixed on Him alone, let us set ourselves in a quiet trust before Him, waiting to hear His holy voice, the voice that is mighty, mightier than the storm that rends the rocks, breathing its quickening spirit within us as He speaks, "Abide in me." We need connection. We need to connect to God. In Psalm 25, verse 14, friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence Him. With them alone, He shares the secrets of His promise. That's the one criteria. We have to reverence Him. We have to see who Jesus is. We have to connect with what He is trying to do. Well, rather, we have to connect with Him, and in turn, we will see clearly, right? So how do we live out our daily life with God? I was talking to Yosef just a couple of weeks ago, and he used this analogy about Facebook, and I thought it was pretty good, so I'm going to steal that right now, Yosef. He was talking about Facebook. You know, when you're on Facebook, you can see whether your friends are on there. There's a little light that basically it's on, says, okay, your friend, this friend is on Facebook right now, right? So you can instantly message that person and you can start talking back and forth. You can share your life, whatever you want to do. Well, he was saying that is exactly what God is constantly doing. I don't know whether God is on Facebook. I haven't checked with Him or whatever, but, you know, He looks and sees, you know, who's on Facebook? Who's connected right now? Who's connected? Who can I, you know, that person is in need. Who can I connect with right now for Him to reach that particular person? Hey, I have a servant right there. He's connected. With the Holy Spirit, He makes impressions. Hey, call this person. Connect with that person. That person is hurting. Talk to them. God wants to be real with us right in the moment. Every single moment. And I always used to think, how's that possible that God can connect with us every single moment? Well, I'll let Him figure that out, but I think it is constantly with us connecting with Him and us being open and leaving time open to just raise our eyes up to Him and say, thank you, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for what you have done for us. Constantly living in that heart of thankfulness. And instantly, as your light is on, God connects with you. God says, hey, my servant, there's somebody there that needs help. So I really like that analogy, especially since we're on talking about Facebook anyways, right? So Isaiah 6 verse 8 says, I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. That is my prayer, that I am constantly ready. And when God says, whom shall I send? I'll be ready to say, here I am, send me. So when we spend time with God, we're tuning our ears, our eyes. He speaks, we hear. Like He says in scripture, my sheep know my voice, right? They don't listen to a robber, right? Because we know we're tuned, our ears are tuned to Him, His voice. And that is His point. If we don't have our ears tuned to Him, how can we expect to have that relationship, right? And a lot of times when you get distracted and you're down the road, 2 weeks down the road, without having a real connection with God, all of a sudden you realize, why can't I connect with God? You know, I need Him right now. I need an answer on this. What should I do, God? and I can't hear him because I've learned to tune him out and listen to the world. If you don't have that connection, he's not there. He's always speaking, but we cannot hear because we have learned to meditate on something else other than him. So there's a lot of, I think we wander around in darkness a lot of times because we don't discipline ourselves to spend that time, right? I can't even imagine the pain that God hears every single day. Babies crying, people crying out for him. But it's always in times when life gets to them, they quickly turn to him. And he says he will always be there, but sometimes it's just very, very difficult to hear at that particular time. He is always there, but if we don't have our ears tuned to him, we cannot hear, we cannot receive, right? Isaiah 42 verse 6 to 7 says, I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nation, to open the eyes open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeons, from the prisons those who sit in darkness. We have a calling, right? We all are called. And I think the one thing, a lot of times when we get into calling, you know, what am I called to do? I think a lot of times we miss it because we think it's going to be this massive thing. You know, all of a sudden God, the trumpets come on and this is what I'm calling you to do. But I think it's more like we connect with God every day and our calling is in every single day to connect with people that don't know him, that are in darkness, right? That need to know him, that are hurting. We have the answer, but sometimes we're not willing to give it, right? Or we haven't connected with God enough to even understand how to give it, right? Get into his word. It's all there, right? I'm preaching. Don't get me wrong. I'm preaching to myself as well. You know, we all get distracted. But God's calling is on us every single day. And of course, there is the bigger callings, right? But I think those are sometimes as we continue to do the small things, those all add up and those all direct us to a certain path that God has already prepared for us, right? And all of a sudden, the bigger thing is there. And obviously, you need to seek that out. If you know, where should I go? What should I do? You know, all those things you have to do and you pray through those. But I believe that it is a lot of times our calling is in every single day. It's not about I, it's about we, right? We. So where am I here? So anyways, God is with us and I had just, you know, God doesn't always just help us with connecting with other people. Just for instance, the other day I was at Costco and I had the girls with me and I go in. And as I'm coming out, I realize I don't have my phone on me. And as you know, I always have my phone on me. So, you know, instantly something is missing. But I just felt this peace come on me. So I go to the van. You know, God says, hey, don't worry. We'll get your phone. I look around. I rummage around in the van. It's nowhere to be found. I realize I must have dropped it somewhere. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, okay, just go in there. It's at the lost and found. So I go in there, I wait for a little bit, and I come up to the desk there. Sure enough, they have it there. It's right there. That's $500 or $600. That's really good. So obviously, good thing it was Sunday because there was a Christian at Costco, right? So Matthew 10, verse 42. And whoever gives one of these little ones ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. So God takes note of every single kind act, every single small act, even a cup of cold water, just because you are a disciple of Christ, right? So don't think that those things are overlooked, because sometimes we think, wow, you know, who's going to know? Who will know? Well, God knows. God sees the things we do in secret, right? So we need to be ready with the Holy Spirit. Just like I was saying with Facebook, we need to be watching, ready, listening. Hebrews 1 verse 9 says, "You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions." So when we start connecting with God, we begin to like what he likes and begin to dislike what he dislikes. And through that, we are anointed with the oil of gladness. We have his peace, his joy that pushes us through the hard times. Are we going to be completely, will there be no storms that come our way? No, we are in this world still. There will still be storms coming, but we will be able to walk through it with peace in our hearts, right? Or we will be beside somebody that is going through that time, that we will be able to be their strength, right, at that time, pointing to God. I believe that it is so much of what we go through every single day is because of a lack of connection with God. And I speak that for myself. I know that's true for me. Because a lot of the hardship, a lot of the times when I struggle, it's because I have not connected, and I instantly know it when I get to that particular point. But I can honestly say, you know, it used to be, hey, I'm 3 months down the road before I realize that I have walked without God for all this time. Today, it's maybe 3 days, maybe 2 days. So just, you know, if you're constantly there where you're, hey, shoot, you know, I didn't connect with God. Just go back. It's okay. God is just calling you back again. He's not angry. He just wants, hey, come, connect with me. You know, lay your burdens down before me, right? And as we do that, as we continue to pursue that, those times come closer and closer and closer where we are connecting. We are no longer disconnected with him, right? So at first, what, maybe 6 months, 7 months, you know, now all of a sudden it's been 2 months, 3 months, or even barely a day, or maybe an hour only, right? If you're up to that particular point where you're connecting with him, we all go through seasons, right? And we have to make sure that we are always coming back, coming back. Don't beat yourself up, because we are sometimes our own worst critics. And when we beat ourselves up, we actually cause more division. And we think that we have to stay away from God because we have sinned and we have disconnected with him. Don't. Just go back. He's waiting for you, and he has no condemnation for that, right? He just wants you to come back. So, we are all called in some shape or form. And I, obviously, I believe we are called to the ultimate purpose, right? Which is in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" This is the ultimate calling for every single Christian. And those little things all add up to that calling, right? We might not all do the whole thing, but some of us water, some of us plant seeds, some of us are there for encouragement. You know, we all play a part. We cannot see it as a perfect picture, but God sees it perfectly, right? So just listen to him and listen to where he has you at the moment, day by day, right? Moment by moment. So, just to recap a little bit, there's three ways to make sure you're always prepared to hear God. Make sure you spend some time with him. Like, I mean, really spend some time, connect with him. You can spend time and you can read the word and you don't get anything out of it. You don't connect with him. I'm talking about actually connecting with him. It is possible to feel God's presence. It is possible that you feel His tangible presence in your life. And if you don't feel it, connect with Him. Continue to connect with Him. Continue to push deeper until you get to that point. Because He wants to be with you in a tangible way. Not just, hey, this is a theory. There's a reality to this, right? So, meditate on God's Word. Number two, meditate on God's Word. Listen when the Holy Spirit speaks. And just remember, always when the Holy Spirit speaks, step out in faith. Because when the Holy Spirit speaks and you listen and you step out in faith and do what He's telling you to do, next time you hear Him even more clearly. But what happens sometimes is when He says something, that can't be the Holy Spirit. Nope. Then we miss that opportunity, and then later on we find out, oh yeah, that person was actually hurting and that person actually did need a word. You know, God will find somebody else, but He wants to work through you, right? So just step out in faith and you will see Him more and more and more. That's just the way it works. So number three, remember God has already blessed you. He's working in you and around you all the time. This is something that always gave me comfort. God is even working when we don't realize He's working. He is working in the background. He's working on your heart, even when you don't know it. He is the one that, once you have accepted Him, He is the one that brings you to salvation. He is the one that continues to work those things out in your heart. He is the one that brings them up. Sometimes He takes them away without you even knowing it. He is like it says in John 15:5. He is the pruner, right? He comes into you and He sees, okay, you're grafted into God's vine. And He says, oh, this branch here, maybe we don't need that anymore. And that might be old friends that are maybe not good for you. Like Pastor Doug said, you know, it's not all people are good for you, right? So He snips that off. And sometimes we feel that little clinch, you know, like as we fall along, we know what's right. We know those are God just pruning things back. And sometimes it's pruning things out of our life that will ultimately change us in a deeper, more powerful way, right? But God is working in the background. That's my point. So just be confident that God has already blessed you. The promises in the Bible are for you. They're for you to realize them. They're not for something for you to work at them, but sometimes it is us working up our faith to actually accept them and to realize them, right? And to start walking in them. So, and the last thing is we all need to be challenged. So, you know, don't turn away, like it says in Proverbs, don't turn away. A wise person will become wiser as he's corrected, right? If somebody corrects you, a person in the Lord corrects you, don't be offended by it, but learn from it. Grow from it. Because that's what God says a wise person does, and he grows even wiser. So, that's my last challenge there. So, if there is somebody out there today that does not know God, I want to lead you here in a prayer. Just to accept Him. If you haven't known Him, or you think that, hey, you know, I didn't know that God was for me. I don't know if that's true for me. Well, God is calling you today. He's calling you into a relationship. So I just want just if we all close our eyes for a minute, I just want to lead that particular person in a prayer right now to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So just follow me. Maybe all of us can, that's fine. I'll just pray with that person in your heart. Just quietly pray. God, I'm sorry for my sin. I turn from it right now. I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sin. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and life right now. Be my Lord and Savior and friend. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. Thank you for forgiving and receiving me right now. And thank you that my sin is forgiven and that I am going to heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just keep your eyes closed. Is there anybody here that said that prayer today? Just as an act of faith, reach up your hand. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. So we just thank you, Heavenly Father. We just thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and your grace that is with us every single day. And you are reaching out to us, Lord God. It's not that, you know, as we walk along, we say, well, we haven't heard from God. God is always calling. He's always with us. He's always from every single angle. He's trying to come to us and say, please rest in me. So I just pray today, Heavenly Father, that we truly are able to rest in you, Lord God, and that we are able to, just by the power of your Holy Spirit, walk through the difficulties that are before us, Lord God. Because you are the mighty God, the God of angel armies. Like you said this morning, we have a friend that is more powerful than anybody else in this universe. Is in you, Lord God. So we just thank you, Heavenly Father. So just pray. Thank you for this service, Lord God. I just thank you for your word, Heavenly Father. I just pray, be with each one of us as we walk out from this place, Lord God. And I pray that we find places, tangible places, that we're able to impact people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.